Hello again, my loved ones, our great, loving, wonderful community. This is Glenda, and I'm here today flying solo. Our sweet, beloved Nancy is on family duties today, helping a service for a beloved family member who passed last week. And so we're going to have the same blessing, the same service we always do. We just won't have her wonderful facilitation of our calls coming and going. So I haven't done this for a while. Pardon me in advance if I'm not as smooth as she is, but we are ready. And I actually thought I would take just a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, to give a new introduction to the blessings, because Nancy and I have both observed on the last few calls that we are having a lot of new callers, and the new callers may not have the full orientation to what's about to be given to them. And it never hurts to have a brush up for the rest of us. The blessings that will come to you are from the Holy Trinity, not from me or the blessing givers. We are facilitators. We're like the satellites that pick up the signal and get a clear signal to you. But the signal comes from a much higher ground than we could offer. And part of what we all learn in becoming blessing givers is how to get out of the way so that we don't complicate the signal or add to it our opinions or our motivations or beliefs about your need. The other thing I want to really emphasize is that we appreciate all of your contributions within the community, because it helps everyone to know that they have support, not just from on high, but from others within our community who actually care about them and understand what they're going through, because what one of us goes through, any of us could go through, given the right set of conditions or circumstances. So we're here to back you up. We're here to be with you, to understand. And we don't say in any way that you need to talk. We offer this space for conversations simply because it's good to share. It's good to open up. It actually helps us to move into a really big feature of receiving blessings, and that is a state of surrender and admitting that you need help. You know, I think in many ways we're even hesitant sometimes to see a physician because we think, oh, this will just, oh, if I just bear with it a few more days, it'll all clear up. You know, I don't need someone else putting their professional opinion on top of what I need to learn for myself. We'll have all kinds of justifications for not surrendering to the simple fact that help would be good. Maybe in the long run, you don't need it. Whatever will happen for you, you can say, well, this is my lot in life to deal with, my destiny. But the fact is, there's a lot of ways you can turn your life around. And I think it really begins with understanding that we're not in this alone. You couldn't have been born by yourself without mom and dad. You wouldn't be here. You could not have raised yourself. And if you had the pleasure of growing up with siblings, that made it even better because you each gave to the others a different perspective about home life, home values, what was expected of you, and what was possibly going to be an opportunity for your life. So we don't go through life alone. And the idea that we should just solve our problems alone is really a feature of shame, that I have a problem, embarrassment, that I have a problem, and a reluctance to admit that it would be really nice to have someone in this with me. But you don't have to voice aloud on this call. God knows your problem. He hears you. Say your prayers. Express yourself to the Holy Spirit, to Christ. You can come in silence. That's totally, totally okay. But I do really, really recommend that you ask on some level, or you share on some level. This is actually scriptural. Yeshua was asked by the apostles and others, well, how do we receive healing? And he said, knock and the door will be opened. Ask and you shall receive. In other words, you need to surrender your self-isolated, independent ego sufficiently that you can receive. And receiving is really the biggest part of the blessing. God is giving blessings all the time. They're floating around you. But there's two things. One is we have a little difficulty receiving. And the other thing is we really don't, we've lost connection with what we might call a butterfly net that we could reach out and pull in some of those blessings, hold them to our heart and say, oh Lord, I do receive. We've lost the ability to do that. So we're here for you. We're here. We know you need help. We all do. There's never been a day in the life of a human when you couldn't use a little bit of help. And we also appreciate your acknowledgement that you received and you're happy and you're moving forward. All of that is very good. Now, when it comes to actually the time of the blessing, for those of you who are new, there's nothing you have to do. There is no special pose you have to be in. This is not, you don't have to sit in any configuration, except I would ask you to have no body parts crossed. And also, if it's possible, have your feet on the ground and your head pointing upwards, which would suggest a chair is the best position. Just relax, but don't make a deal out of it. Don't stress yourself to be in any unusual posture. The reason for the feet on the ground is because the heavens and the earth connect through you, because part of your blessings will come from the earth. It could need to come from the material realm of physical reality or mechanical reality, as in fix my car, or it most likely will come from a spiritual higher reality conducted into you through your soul and your own higher being, which comes through the top of your head. And both directions mingle in your heart. So I would recommend that you pray with your heart in mind, your heart in focus, and just be quiet and surrender and receive. What you receive may not be obvious immediately. It may be revealed in the hours, the days, or the weeks ahead. But one of the great things about our community is we share, and people will let you know what they've received and how they've progressed in their receiving. So with that, I would like to call anyone to log in who wants to talk, who wants to let us know about blessings you need or blessings you received. And the way you do it is you press star 6, listen to the prompt, and then press 1. When we get to you in the line of succession on the board, I will open your line. And if you've already been muted on your phone, you'll have to unmute your phone. I can't do that for you. But with all these things being said, let's start, okay? We will end on a prayer. So if you're wondering, well, Glenda, where's the prayer? The prayer right now is in your heart. And we do not want to override your request, your tender awareness, and your precious union with God, which is unique to you. As we close, we will close in a prayer for all of us. So that's the order of worship and communal joining. And I just want to welcome everyone. Everyone is welcome. And there is never a charge. This is given freely because it's not from me. It's not from the blessing givers. We contribute our time, our love, and our heart to making this place we live in together a better place. And it could use a lot of improvement right now, I have to say. We need to be looking up and reaching out for the best way in which we can conduct our life. With all that being said, welcome everyone. And Nancy, we send you love and blessings from a distance, that your day is spent close to God. Let's get started. Let's see who our first caller is. I've got to figure this out. Okay. Eva, hello.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing really well for a while and continuing to get better. And all of a sudden, last week, I had my therapy. And I don't know if it was the therapy. She had me standing, trying to raise my stamina. And the next morning, my right hip, which hadn't been hurting anymore, was hurting. And the other hip was okay. And so that was very disappointing, and I was having very much trouble walking again. So, yes, I need some help. So you
yes.
said,
well, you're going to get it. We are sending
so
you help for strength and mobility. And, of
yes.
course, let your therapist know that she pushed you a little too hard because
yeah,
you
I
can
did.
Recover
and
from this. Okay.
So I'm hoping that this will turn around again, but... It keeps happening, and it gets me a little bit worried because I never know what's going to happen next. I think it's good, and all of a sudden it's worse. So I want Yeshua's help, and hopefully it will turn around.
Mm-hmm. Indeed
yeah.
it will. And don't let your faith lag, okay?
Yeah, that's what tends to happen to me sometimes.
So. Yes, I can see that. That's probably the two biggest problems are that she pushed you a little too far. And then when it didn't go right, you said, oh, no, I'm back there
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We can confirm our best expectations as surely as we can confirm the worst ones. So, what's your thoughts?
Yes. I'm trying to do that.
Okay. I know.
But I know trying isn't doing it.
Trying doesn't get the job done. We all know that.
Right.
Just do
yeah.
it. Okay,
yeah.
muster up the courage and just do. Be bold. Be bold and say,
yeah.
well, what have I got to lose by believing that this is going away? Really?
Yeah.
Honestly, what do you have to lose by believing in yourself?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
We love you,
Eva.
We love you, and we're always glad to be part of your your progress. And
well, thank you.
Part of your progress is the learning that you need to go through. You know, I don't mean to discourage you in this way, but the fact is, your soul is more important to God than your body is. And if he has to sacrifice a little progress in your body in order for your soul to learn what it needs to learn, he will do that. He did that for his son. He did that for the apostles. He did it for me. Your soul is the most important thing to God because you will be that forever. And even with the best of lives, with many things that we want to fulfill, our physical lives just don't last very long.
Well, don't last very long.
I'm sorry, you didn't hear me?
Not that part.
I said, even as long as we would like our lives to live with all the purpose we would like to put into it, it's still not going to last that long. You know, 80, 90, 100 years goes by in the blink of an eye. Your soul does not ever go away. It's forever. And God has his priorities too.
Yeah.
So my advice to you is learn as fast as you can all of these lessons of the soul. That's actually what took Job out of his trials. He tried everything earthly. He tried charity. He tried forgiveness. He tried good works. He tried everything he could do that would benefit the material life of others or the material life of the temple. It didn't work. Only when he finally did something that honored the immortality of his soul did God say, okay, you're fine, you're free. I'll give you back everything you lost.
Yeah. Yes, I read Job a few times in my life when things were going what I was ready to say bad. But I know it all turned out good in the end.
That's right. It did.
Yeah.
My basic conclusion to everything I'm saying is give God what he wants, and he'll give you what you want. What he wants is for your soul to learn the strength and the triumph of living on planet Earth.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. Okay? You give him what he wants, he'll give you what you want.
Okay.
I don't think there's a parent in the universe that doesn't think that way. Sometimes they give in temporarily just to keep you from hurting yourself any worse than you have. But it's the way parenting works.
Yeah.
You know, we are forgiven a lot of things when we're 16 years old because we've got a whole life ahead to learn. It gets harder to get our lessons under our belt the further we get along in life. And I'm going through the same thing. I don't have your physical issues, but I do have physical issues. They're just different. I have other life issues. I'm writing a book now, and I'd like to get this book finished before Christmas. I have many other books I want to write, and I'm thinking, will I have enough time in my life to write these? I don't know. I may come to the point where I have to say, somebody else will write these books. I need to go and be with Yeshua and my Father. You know, we have to surrender at some times, Eva, And it does not help to fight. It doesn't.
What?
It really doesn't. And I know you're trying, but trying can sometimes involve a little bit of fighting and resistance. Try giving God what he wants. And see how that works.
Okay. It's just that I don't know what he wants sometimes. It's like, do you want? Well, I do,
ask
but
him.
I don't get the answers.
Well, ask again. With a willingness to give him, with a willingness to actually give it to him.
Right.
Okay.
You know, when people say they hear the answers, and I guess in former life when I grew up, that wasn't a part of our belief. I mean, we talked about it, we prayed and we did these things, but we didn't really believe that God would talk to us in a way that we could really hear. You know, really hear what God was saying. So I think maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Take it a little further, Eva.
What's that?
I said take it a little further and listen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Our prayers are with you.
And thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay.
Okay.
Well, we are going to take our next question, which comes from...
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
Yes. It's Nancy.
Hi, Glenda. It's Christine from Houston.
Christine, okay. Gotcha.
Yes. I called in last week for a special prayer for our big event we had, and I just wanted to call back with gratitude and some beautiful... confirmation that prayers are heard and answered, and sometimes faster than not. And I just wanted to offer an interesting little thing that happened. My shoes fell apart as I walked into the event because they were beautiful, but apparently the 15 years of just sitting in a closet made them stiff, and the bottoms crumbled. And I'm thinking, I am in a gown. My shoes just fell. A coworker got me tape. I was trying to fix them. And I said, does anyone have an extra pair of 7.5-8 heels? I just said that. 10 minutes later, one of my colleagues said, oh my gosh, I have an extra pair of shoes on my desk that I keep for events, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's like, what size are you? I was like, 7.5-8. She's like, come follow me. I was like, are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. So I was like, are you kidding? I knew exactly in my heart immediately. I was like, yep, there you are. Thank you. And so that was, I just had to share that and give you extra special thanks.
Great. That's wonderful. You know, God answers small prayers as well as big ones. He does. And but he didn't answer my prayer. And the correct response to that is, the first correct response is not yet. And the second correct response is pray again. And the third correct response is it may not be in your best interest. We think that we're in charge of our life. But if we were, everything would be going better. We're not fully in charge of our lives. And thank goodness there's someone with a higher perspective who is. And so sometimes we have to rethink our prayer and see how it better fits into the will of God in the bigger picture. So those are my three responses to when prayer doesn't work, but it's not because your prayer was too small. It's never, that's never the answer. God will answer the tiniest little prayer. I was getting some clothing ready to take to a consignment store. I have way too many clothes because in the previous 20 years, I traveled a lot. I did a lot of seminars, book tours, and public events. And when you travel, you've got to take extras with you. And, you know, you just do. And so I... sorry about that. There's another phone going off. I'm selling some. Well, I noticed there was a little tear in one of the dresses I was going to sell. And it was a fabulous dress. Fabulous. I mean, someone would love to have that. And I could make a little money from it. Well, I thought, how am I going to do this? And I sat down to mend. And all of a sudden, I felt not Yeshua, my Heavenly Father, the one who created the universe, come in with a voice, and he says, use that needle and that thread, and we'll do it together. We mended that dress together, and it was absolutely flawless. You could not tell that it had ever been injured. No one, no human could have mended that dress like that. And I thought, how amazing that nothing is too small for you. He knew I really needed to sell that dress. And, you know, that's the thing. Review your prayers. Make sure they're in alignment with your greatest good, what you need. And if they're not immediately answered, rethink the content of your prayer. And I'm not saying this to you, Christine. I'm using your experience to say this to everyone because it's an everyone issue. We all wonder when a prayer is not answered immediately, and then we're all surprised when the least of prayers happen right within 10 seconds of asking. And, you know, it's there is no time and space for God. It doesn't exist. It could be instant. In the blink of our eye, it could take 3 years to answer that prayer because He's going to make it right for your life before He answers it.
Mm-hmm. So you can be ready.
That's exactly what the parable of, so actually there were several parables, like the parable of the watchman, the parable of the bridesmaids, the bride and the bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom. You have to wait. They may show up tonight. They may show up 3 months from now. Wait. Wait. That was Yeshua's teaching, is that we live in a collective world. And that's what we don't yet know how to manage, which is why we have misunderstandings and conflicts and wars, because we're not managing our collective congregation of people,
yeah.
Family, globally. And it's really horrible when it gets so devastating and out of control. You know, we bleed with our heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a lesson and a reminder of how much more work we have to do, because we do have to understand. We've got to be in a way of moving forward together. Well, Christine, I am so glad to hear your event went well, and thank you for asking us to be part of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It really gave me a foundation of trust that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't called in and asked. So I was really glad that was a wonderful decision on my part, and that I give him credit for that too. I would just want. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that's a gift to other people listening in. They'll see the value of being here and asking.
Mm-hmm. And I've been silent before too, and I get about as much out of it when I'm silent, and I just feel the community and the strength of the energy moving through my body from all of that, and the collective, like you said, the collective blessing and community. It's beautiful. And I'm sorry to talk over you. I didn't mean to do that. I have a special blessing. My sweet friend, it's her birthday today, and she lost her daughter from a fentanyl overdose December 24th. And I just want to make a special request that Jeshua is around her, embracing her, you know, every thought she has, every move she makes. She has migraines, chronic migraines, and she's had migraines for the past 3 days. And I just wish ask that he could please just touch her life, just be with her.
Oh, yes. What's her name?
Extra. Nancy.
Esther. Oh, Nancy. Okay.
Nancy. Mm-hmm. Another beautiful Nancy.
Yes, I know. We have a lot of wonderful Nancys on our community. Okay. Well,
thank you
so much, and God bless you. Have a wonderful week and a wonderful blessing today.
Mm. You too. Okay. Thank you, Glenda.
I'm going to take the next caller. Not sure who it is, but we'll find out. Susan, hello.
Susan, how are you? How are you?
I am doing fabulous.
Good. A few weeks ago, I mentioned on the call that, I went to the derm and yet another biopsy had to be taken. And I waited a few weeks because, I'm chicken to call. I was thinking, they'll call me. Let them call me. But finally I said, no. I think that last Monday I said, and so by last Sunday, I didn't have any answers, about it, and because I hadn't called, and I just listened to the to our recording, and that was fine. And Monday, I said, "That's it. I'm going to call to see what's what." So I called, but what I prayed for was very interesting because I've had so many of these, skin cancers and so forth. And in the past, I think I prayed, that it wouldn't be cancerous. I don't remember exactly, but this time I didn't. I said, I remember hearing so often, asking and shall receive. I said, why not just put it out there that whatever it is, cancer or otherwise, that it be, by the time I call, that it be made benign. And that I had this visualization that I wasn't going back there until my next appointment, which happened to be Valentine's Day. And I said, and on Valentine's Day, on my way home, I'm going to stop at ShopRite and get flowers and maybe a little chocolate. But I'm not going there before then. And I'm just expecting that whatever this is, cancer or otherwise, that it be healed. And that's what I put it out. And that was different than any other time when I prayed, and most of them were not benign, for anything. So I called, and, they called me back. I was in the car. And they said, Susan, this is Dina from Dr. Abate's office. I said, yeah. She goes, it was benign. Well, I said, oh, my God. I said, thank you. I went, wow. I prayed differently. And and I also said, thy will be done. If for some reason I'm meant to go in, then I'm meant to go in. But I liked the way I prayed. And immediately I called Nancy. I said, Nancy. She goes, I'm not going to be there on the call, but Susan, you have to call. And I said, I will. But I didn't call the week before because I hadn't found any answers. And a few weeks before that, I already put it out to the community and asked them to pray for me. That was enough, That was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is miraculous that was granted to me. And more miraculous the way I put it out there. So
yeah.
I want to thank you about it.
Oh, yes. Well, I think that is a marvelous attainment, Susan. It's marvelous. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said. He told, I've forgotten which congregation it was, don't pray like children. Children think like children. Pray like an adult.
And what I take away from that is children are into making demands because they are essentially out of control. They can't do that much for themselves. They are essentially dependent. As we mature, we form relationships with our parents. We form relationships with our friends and the world, and relationships with God. And so when we pray as a child, we're making either demands or requests that are simply imposed upon God, as if we know exactly what we need, as if we know the way it needs to be, the way it has to be, without trusting the fact that He wants the best for us. And the best He wants for us is for our soul to mature. In giving evidence that your soul was maturing, He probably couldn't wait to heal that for you.
Well, it was incredible. Yeah, so grateful. And as I said, the surrender was, "Thy will be done." Nothing is nothing. Like, you know, it's on the knee, but it's near. You know, it's not nothing. It may not be the biggest, you know, problem that would have to be dealt with, but it's a lot better if it was made benign. And like you said, there's nothing that can't be done on the quantum field. So why not ask for that? You know, if it isn't meant to be, so be it. I've been through it before. I would go through it again. But why not ask for it?
Exactly.
That's what I did.
The maturity of the soul is really showing up in you, Susan.
It really is.
Yes. Yeah. The book I am.
And I really owe the community and you, Glenda. Really. I really do. You know, a number of years doing this work is just incredible.
Oh, thank you, Susan. I really appreciate that. And I'm writing a book that is going to honor those of you who've been here before, studying for a long time, and opening doors for those who've never heard before. The book is drawing its strength from a webinar I did years ago called "The Only Way Out Is Up." I remember you were on it. And we covered the basics of that subject, but there was so much more that could be elaborated on and brought into practical vision and completed understanding. Because really, our way up is through the soul, through maturing of the soul. It's almost anything we do that goes up helps us temporarily feel better. You know, we get a raise, we feel better. We get a better car, we feel better. But it doesn't last. You know, it's temporary. We get a new wonderful relationship, and it's fabulous, and it may be the love of our life, but it does settle down into normalcy a few years down the road, and we're going, well, gee, I'm sure there's passion somewhere if I really love this person. You know, but what lasts forever is your soul. And as we mature in relation to our soul and our soul's relationship to God, we become who we were created to be. And actually, we become fit to improve the world. We're not actually taken out of the world by going up to the maturity of the soul. We finally are able to do something for the world. Look at the lives of the greatest people who've lived. They had maturity of the soul. Again, maturity of the soul allows you to serve the world. When you're a child, beating your hands against what's not working for you, you're a problem to others as much as you're a benefit to others, because they have to deal with you in addition to their problems. But as you gain maturity of the soul, you become a blessing to everyone who knows you. And that's what the book is all about.
Well,
hopefully it will help to elevate my the reason I chose this topic as the first one to write my next book about is because the world needs it so much. So much right now. You don't come to solutions by heading into conflict. You come to solutions by lifting your perspective up high enough to see the greater parameter of what's going on. And then your actions might actually be beneficial, hopefully to everyone, but at least to those you love. So thanks, Susan, for weathering the years with us and rising above our occasional difficulties, because we're always here for one another.
For sure. Can I give a blessing to my son, Matthew, my daughter-in-law, Alyssa, and to a woman named Johanna?
Of course.
So
I've got them written down.
Great.
Okay.
Great. And thank you all for everything.
You're so welcome. We love you, Susan. And we just love hearing your voice come online.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm so glad to hear your good news. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
More good news to come. More good news to come,
Susan. Yep. And holding hands with all of you.
Oh, thank you. And our next question is going to Caroline.
Hi. Well, I'm back in America. I just had a 3-week trip to London, and I'd asked for a blessing for that to go well, and it did, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you. But I also wanted to ask for a blessing for my friend and ex-boyfriend, Brian, who's going through some very difficult times. He's really having serious financial problems impacting his ability to fix his roof on his house, and he's got mold in his bedroom from the roof leak. He got ripped off by a roofer, and he hasn't got the money to sort that out. So he's really in kind of difficult straits, and it's also been very hard for him to adjust to me no longer being his girlfriend. So I'd like to have a lot of blessings go to him because he's a good guy. He is atheist. He's a lapsed Catholic. He doesn't have the same religious views that I do, but he's a good man, and he needs a lot of blessings. So that's what I'm asking for today.
All right. He's got them.
And his name is Brian, so he needs Brian. So Brian, right.
I remember you've asked for Brian before. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we
keep
it up.
So thank you.
Okay.
All right. And thank you.
Glad to have you back.
Yes.
Yes.
I missed you guys. It was just not working with the time difference. I was trying to connect, but the time difference was just making it, and I had a lot of appointments, so I couldn't connect. But it's great to be back stateside. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. And you brought your lovely, beautiful British accent with you.
Thank you. Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Helen, hello.
Hey. Hi, Glenda. So, you know, one of the things I admire about you is that you're so cheerful. And yet, when I listen to world news from alternative sources, I mean, they're talking about World War III, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what do I do? Do I run off to Mexico? Where shall I hide? That's my initial thinking. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I don't want to be part of it. I want to just get away from it all. So how do we deal with that? You know, because, you know they're skirting with Iran. They are wanting to make troubles with Russia and Turkey. I mean, it's insane. The whole thing is so insane. For whatever reason, they insist on going to major war to solve their financial issues. I keep hearing this and this and that. Of course, I don't know enough to analyze it. And I'm thinking, What is the proper asking? What is the proper prayer? I mean, I do pray for peace in the world, but I'm really stressed out about this. Because I'm thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to go to Mexico with three dogs and five cats? Because, you know, I ended up adopting all these animals.
Well, I don't think you want to go to Mexico. I don't think that's a very good idea, actually. And the best, I think the best suggestion for everyone is to stay where you belong. You're belonging to the earth. You're belonging to your life. You're belonging to where God put you is your safest place. And I once asked Yeshua in troubled times, how do we know what to do next? And he said, do what's in front of you. Help those in front of you. Protect your front side and your back side to keep yourself safe in the immediate vicinity of where you are. Help others. Create a larger community that will in turn help you. So he would always suggest that which is immediately manageable, and try not to outguess destiny, because actually there are a lot of people, especially on the news and negative news, who are manipulating fear. They're using fear to manipulate their agenda and using fear to create outcomes that they want to forward and perpetuate. I do not engage with fear, Helen, and that's how I manage to stay cheerful, because God is not going to take me a day before he wants me. Not a day before he wants me, and I know right now this is where I belong. He put me here. I'm able to do the Sunday services. I'm able to write a book, and I'm able to enjoy life with my three cats and be in a friendly coexistence with my neighbors. I've got the doctors I need and all the supplies I need. And I work with the most positive ingredients of life that are accessible to me. And I don't reach into the negative because, number one, I can't control it. Number two, if God wanted me to be there influencing and controlling, he would actually put me there. I think he is, well, I don't think, I know he asked me to write this book because this book will help other people like you and our community and millions of others who only want to be contributing to life from the bright side of possibility. Our country is a long ways from being over. If you look at the rest of the world, there's no place like it, Helen. There is no place, even though we're kind of in a decline right now. We could fall a whole lot lower and still be of a different cut than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. One of, you know, I'm actually glad to see that China and Russia are pulling out of their decline a little bit. But they're not doing much good in the world. They're making themselves a threat to the world and using fear to manipulate a better position for themselves. We have people coming from other countries as refugees. And we are really pressed upon to do something with the refugees under the premise that, well, didn't we all come here as refugees? No, actually, we didn't. Most of the people that came to this country came because they had a choice and they took a chance. They had no money. They knew they were going to arrive in a state of poverty, but they believed that they would find opportunities here and they could build a better life here. and they were focused upon values. They did not come here to exploit a pre-existing system that could be parasited on or to bring troubles of the of the world that could be used to exploit vulnerable people here, such as drug cartels. And that does not at all compare to the immigrants that came here. The immigrants that came here for the first 300 years of immigration, and that's a lot longer than the actual birth of our country, because we were built of immigrants. And not everything we did as immigrants to the existing native people was good. Sometimes we worked with them, most of the time we didn't. And we may have karma to inherit from that, because in many ways we were also invaders. And we have to learn what it feels like to receive invaders into our country. We have to figure out how to deal with these points of karmic feedback, which have to be turned into responsibility, goodwill, and compassion. There is no question that we should not support slavery. Slavery of any kind, not of children, of women, of people being sold into slavery to get here. That is immoral. And I will not stand up for immorality. But there are lessons to be learned. We can learn about how to accept more people into our world and invite them into a state of productive citizenship. And this will make us stronger. It will renew us, because that's part of our heritage. And we're all children of that heritage. There really is no difference in that regard. We just have to really, again, be responsible for who we are as a people, who what this nation is as a people. And I personally do not think we will engage in war unless we are attacked first. And by attack first, I'm not talking about our allies being attacked. I'm talking about our homeland being attacked in the sense of Pearl Harbor, in the sense of 9/11. If our homeland is attacked, I'm sure the United States will retaliate. But it will probably retaliate in the most effective, efficient 15-minute solution that it can. So don't run. Don't let fear rule your life.
Right.
Look for ways that you can be compassionate, optimistic, loving, caring, and in communion with God. We are not a warring nation, and I do not fear the retributions of war to fall upon us. I am not expecting us to be in World War III. And I think that is manipulation by forces of darkness to divide our people and to divide our people and our constitution and our constituency of wholeness, so that we are not functioning as a whole people. I do not think we will participate or contribute in any way to World War III. And without us in it, there will not be World War III. How's that for an answer?
I hope so. I hope so.
I more than believe so. I know so. Because I know the soul that was placed into this country. That doesn't mean all of our people are good people. There are, we have our problem people, as any country does. We have our problem politics, as any country does. But the soul of this nation is good. The soul of our people is good. And we need to simply be communing with that soul
in the way we were created as a nation, because the goodness of our nation will carry us into the future that you want, the future that we all want, and it will not be World War III.
Oh, gosh. That'd be wonderful. Yeah.
I don't think I talked about politics at all today. I do not talk about politics because that's divided. But there are times when Churchill needs to address his nation. And I think this was a time when I need to address our congregation. Do not live in fear. Do not pick up the sword, as Yeshua told Peter. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And that is not what we are called. That is not how we are called to fight. We are not called to fight at all, but to stand strong. And that's a difference. To stand strong against those who would try to fight us.
Hi. Thank you.
Well, I think that is my calling in the days ahead, whether writing the book, speaking to our congregation, or perhaps even speaking publicly. However Yeshua calls me into this situation, I will go. And right now, I'm enjoying being able to rest in peace, not rest in peace in that sense, but to sit in my office chair in peace and write. And I'll take this moment also to apologize that I have not been in better communication with everyone through email and notification and participation with the seasons that are coming up. I want to let you know that we will have our usual sales and specials as we come toward the Christmas season. Now is there's never been a better time to wear Christ's sense, because that's a fabulous way of bringing his presence into the presence of others without saying a word. You don't have to proselytize. You don't have to, and they may say, oh, that's wonderful. Well, what is it? It's heaven sent. It's just heaven sent. It was created by heaven to bring peace on earth. Well, really? I want some. You know? And you don't have to. You don't have to use it to preach. Don't. In fact, don't. Because it could move you into polarized positions. And right now, we don't have to proselytize. I'm not liking the fact that I go onto YouTube and find so many congregations of Christianity fostering the apocalypse and if end times are here, that's not going to do anybody any good. And I'm sorry, but it's not. And if it's here, you're going to find out about it. There's nothing you can prepare for. And the best way you can prepare for it is in prayer and to be in the highest place you can be with yourself and with God. There, you can't prep for the end times. You can't. You will be lifted out of it. And it's as simple as that. And I do not participate in that for that reason, because it just adds to the polarity of the world. And it doesn't add clarity, because there are mystical precepts in the book of Revelation that have never been revealed yet. And I think that's why it's called the book of Revelation, because these things will be revealed. And if they haven't been revealed, in my opinion, it's not time. So there you have my opinion on it. This has come up many times before in the world. We thought World War II was the end times, especially with bombs going on everywhere and the Jews going through Holocaust. We thought, oh, this is the end times. Yeah, well, we've thought about that so many times before. We thought about it at the turn of the millennium, not this millennium, the previous mm-hmm. millennium. And we used that to justify the Crusades, where so many, many people were killed, Christians and Muslims, where exploitation of every conceivable kind was created. And most of all, wealth was created for banking systems in Europe that, mm-hmm. in the long run, did not do anything for humanity. There were a few good things that came from the Crusades, but not as put against the tragedy and the catastrophe of that, and the building of further hatred between Christians and Muslims. It just fomented the hatred that now we're still paying for and we're still confronting. And it's a useless hatred because we all came from Abraham and the inspirations of Abraham. Why can't we get that through our thick skulls? You know, really, there is no basis for war. There is no basis for war. It's being manipulated, my friends. And if you catch on to that and you reside in your peace where you have the greatest value in life, you'll get through it. And I guess that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to listen to this message again and again.
Okay.
I get comfort. Because you're right. There's nothing we can do in times like that.
There isn't.
What are we going to do?
But there's a lot you can do for yourself. Let's just say it's about to end. Wouldn't you rather end it in joy? In a connection with God? Wouldn't you rather in connection with the people you love? Wouldn't you rather it to be that way? And it's not going to end. It's not.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, my dear. I know that others may be waiting. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, Helen, you always have the courage to bring up things that nobody else will bring up. And so I really appreciate your passion and your fire and your ability to confront issues right smack dab on the square. So we love you. And we just ask that now you love yourself, okay?
There you go. That's the important thing.
And not torture yourself over these things.
And I do. And I do. And it's like,
I know you do.
Goodness. Oh. All righty. Maybe I was
all
thinking
right.
I would cancel my TV. Wouldn't that be great? I tried it. I suspended it. I didn't succeed. So now I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to take the next step and totally shut it off, cancel it, so I can finally read my book.
You can still watch the news. You can still watch movies that you like, inspiring movies, uplifting movies. Why not?
Okay. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Norman Cousins pulled himself out of a huge slump by just watching comedies all day. There's something about laughter that is up, up, up. We let go of most, you know, I started to say it, corrected myself, and now I'm going to say it. There's something about laughter that lifts us up from the idiocy of conflict, the idiocy of trouble, the idiocy of the world. There's no reason for it. There is no reason for it. It's humans creating it all.
Yeah, the Rothschilds of the world.
Oh, well, let's don't isolate a few. There's a few people I suspect as being troublemakers.
Yeah.
But I just pray for them and I don't focus on them. Let's don't get into isolating and blaming people because, you know, we might be wrong. You know,
I was
a few times I have isolated and blamed people, and I find, you know, I think Hitler was not a very good man, but the more I researched the Third Reich, I find there were people worse than him. So, you know, I think it pays us to be humble, and I don't mean humble in that we make ourselves lowly. I mean in that we know that we don't have the answers, but we do have one big answer inside, and that is we're God's child, and he will not allow us to perish if we hold to that connection. Okay, Helen, have a blessed week. And I'll call you during the week. We'll talk about some of this stuff.
Okay,
but we've got two more people, and then we're going to do our blessing. So don't anybody else come on, because we've got two people to take care of, and we're already at past the time for our blessing. Okay, we have a wireless caller, and I don't have a number for you.
This is Stormy. This is my other number.
Stormy. Yeah.
Say, I have left so many worlds behind me, and I have created so many new worlds. And one of the worlds I have experienced was Glenda's world. Everybody, welcome to Glenda's world.
Okay. Well, everybody is welcome to my world. And, you know, you are welcome and loved, and I will be here for you. So I'm not going anywhere, because staying put is my gift.
I'm fixing to go out into the world. The world is, I've been without a car for over 3 months, almost four now. And evidently the world is tired of me staying in the house, because my daughter is fixing a car up to give me. So the world wants me. The world is providing a car for me so that I, not much, but something that I can get around in, a hybrid car.
Awesome.
But the world wants me, so the world is providing. That's the way it
works.
Well,
congratulations to us that we'll get you.
Yes, and everybody, and I want to tell Eva, I'm still there. I haven't stopped, and I'm still there with Eva, and understanding her situation. You know, I can't give her any more energy. I told her a while back ago, if I do, it will push you over. It's one of the things that I am here and do.
Mm-hmm.
I said. And she says, no, I don't want that. So I can't give you any more energy. You know, just to finish up what y'all were saying about the world, welcome. I'll let you be in my world if you let me be in yours.
Absolutely. Totally.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Stormy. God bless you, and have a wonderful week with your new car.
Yes, eventually. He'll get here when it gets here.
Okay. Good well, night. We're going to open the line to Christopher now. And, Christopher, we will end on you because we need to get into our blessing.
Hi, Glenda. Well, first of all, I just want to say I love you, Glenda. I really do. And I'm really grateful to be in your world. And just, you make me laugh pretty often. Yeah, I really loved what you were just sharing. Well, this call, I just wanted to say I appreciate the discussion about maturity and the maturing of the soul and how God grants the blessings when he sees us growing. And I just wanted to, you know, make amends for the ways in my life that I was so impatient, you know, and that rage that I used to have, conflict that I would engage because I felt so oppressed and misunderstood in my life and how that's the direction I chose, you know. But then when you were speaking about the only way out is up, I was laying in the sauna on my yoga mat, stretching, and I remembered that in, you know, scientific terms, they've done a lot of research on mindfulness, different types of practices of mindfulness, not just Buddhist ones. But that one of the things that it does is it actually paves a road and widens the road between the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. And really, it's like it gives you the opportunity, the ability to switch out of that conflict mode, the fight or the flight. You know, Helen was just talking about flying away. Mm-hmm. And my tendency has been both. You know, I've done both. And so, yeah, it just reminded me of that. And I wanted to share that back to you, that there's a ton of research that shows that, you know, the mindfulness practices actually help open these pathways in the brain that allow us to move our attention to the prefrontal, which is where we can see the big picture and we can be more strategic about how we respond to things. And I just want to thank you for doing all you're doing and sharing that type of consciousness with us every week. And it really comes through. And the blessing is so powerful. Also, just being together and hearing your perspective is just so nourishing. And it's really, really, really helped me on my path of maturing. And the blessing and your wisdom, your support, your guidance, and the prayers of the community have really helped me to grow in the last 3 or 4 years. So I just want to say thank you and blessings to all of us that we do embrace that maturing process. Because like you keep saying that when you have that attunement with God, everything is taken care of. It says in the song, God keeps those who love him. So let's keep loving him and trusting. He's got us. He's got us and he'll guide
us.
So
he's got it.
Thank you.
Totally. Never let go.
And I love you. I'm so grateful for you, Glenda.
Wow.
And blessing to be here. Blessings to everybody this week.
Okay. Yeah. Have a great week, Christopher. And
you too.
Just embrace your blessings. And they will embrace
you. Thank you.
Them.
I will.
All right,
okay,
everybody.
Glenda.
We are at that special moment now where we are ready to embark upon our time with God, our time in well, we have to pause for the few announcements we have on our call line, but we are back. Hopefully, the things we talked about already have you in a more relaxed state of mind, because many of you may have come to this call with worries about the world, worries about your life, and where you're going to be a year from now. And, well, if you're in heaven, wouldn't that be wonderful? So don't worry. Don't worry. You're going to be with God wherever you are, and you're going to be where you can fulfill your life to the highest and the best if you will simply open up to it. So that's what we're going to do now, is give you an exercise in opening up to blessings that already surround you. It's like if you could walk into cotton candy and it was sticking to your skin, but it was a big ball of cotton candy going 20 miles out in every direction. That's the kind of blessings that are already all around you, but you're not eating the candy. You're saying, well, how can I live with this? I can't breathe. I've got no free will. Well, you do. You do. Open your eyes and look at what's possible. Open your mouth and taste. Open your ears and listen. All that's possible is around you. And we have to stop being so fixed upon it being our will. Part of what happens for you will be your will, because it will be by your choice, by your preference, and coming from your place in life. So part of it will be your will. But you can't see the big picture. I can't see the big picture. So why worry about it? Really, why worry about it? But what you can do is you can taste the blessings that are coming for you. You can open yourself to them and allow your life to shift just a little bit. One of the things I'm going to teach you in the book I'm writing, I'm actually working on that chapter right now, is the malleability of this universe. This universe is created in two dimensions. One of the dimensions is the quantifiable dimension. That's everything that can be measured or weighed or put into a space-time reference, which would include the whole material universe. All of material creation would be in that particular side of creation. And guess what? It only comprises 2% of what's been estimated as potential. Only 2%. What's the remaining 98%? It's the quantum field. And what is the quantum field? Well, it has no space and time. It has no limitation. It has no expiration date. It has no judgment. It only has potential. It responds to values, to love, to harmony, to music, to cooperation, to, and of course, the author of it all is God the Creator, who invites us to participate in that field. Well, we're not supposed to live entirely in that field because we were born in order to create heaven on earth. In other words, to bring some of that quantum field into the earth plane so that we can mingle it and create more malleability here, more miracle space, you might say, more love space, more creation space, more opportunity space, more forgiveness space, by bringing more of the quantum field into the quantitative field. That's what we're here to do. But part of you is still in the quantum field, and that part of you has a name. Well, it's a unique name, but also it's your soul. Your soul is there and always will be. And you draw upon your soul to bring the nectar of grace into the material world. And, of course, who furnishes that grace and that power is our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. And Yeshua was the one who gave us the example that this material world can, in fact, become very malleable. He multiplied the fish. He raised the dead. He healed the sick, which means, pardon me, it means conditions in this world that we think is so fixed as if it's predetermined for outcome. If this happens, then that has to be the consequence. It can be changed. It can be quite malleable. But you have to have faith for what? To bring the quantum world down. Faith to engage with your soul while living. If you are only looking at the probabilities and possibilities of material to material to material, quantifiable to quantifiable to quantifiable, you will just get more of the same, which is always limited. Always. It was actually created that way, and we are the final link in the unification of these two dimensions of creation. We are the links. And that's why the human race is so challenged. That's why we're being hit so hard. Because if you can break the link, then you can control the whole realm of material existence. And no one but those in charge can do anything about it. All right? By bringing the quantum world into the quantifiable world, we change everything, just as Yeshua changed everything. And in many ways, the prophets before him and the apostles after him have contributing to changing the world utterly compared to what it once was. So today, just receive the blessings and don't expect the changes to happen immediately. You will receive more from the quantum field, from your soul, from God, from the Holy Spirit, from Yeshua, through your heart, your consciousness, and the earth, all participating with you to become that sacred link. And that sacred link will play out in the days ahead as you engage with life. As you engage with life, it will all play out. And you will begin to see magnificent changes occurring. And I would call them changes by grace. And the things you notice may not be a new home. It may be that you love the home you have and you've turned it into a sanctuary that is anchoring the rest of your work and life in the world. So don't be limited in your expectation of how this will play out and how it will come into your life or play through your life to others. So let's take a deep breath. Very deep. Expand your diaphragm, okay? And then exhale, releasing all the tension in your body. Once again, deep and full as you can take that breath. Now, release it fully and completely, letting go. Okay. And now we just want to take a normal breath, regular, everyday breath, but we want to make it regular and mindful. Because breathing is the pattern of life. And we're going to have alternating phases, exactly four phases. We're going to exhale, pause to release that air completely, then inhale a different breath. Pause in order to receive it completely. Then again. And I recommend you do this to the count of four in each phase so that you can make this patterned and regular and mindful and graceful. It's like you're dancing with air. You're dancing with a pattern of life. Like the four steps. Okay? Four by four by four. And let's do it. Okay. Breathe out to the count of four. Your four, not mine. And pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. And pause to the count of four. Exhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Now continue while I offer my prayer to Yeshua. Our brother in perfection, who has shown us what is possible when we link heaven and earth. Lord of life, who has shown us what is possible when we embrace with faith only the positive endowments of life. Our friend and our companion who walks with us through the celebrations and the troubles of life, who brings us to choice points and helps us to make the best choice for right now, knowing that it will build in the future to a better choice as we move along. We ask with all of our heart, that our prayers be extended to those who know not to pray, or who didn't think to pray, or don't know how to pray. We ask for them that the blessings of God be with them, that in their heart of hearts, in their higher consciousness, they can make the better choices of their life, that they can embrace and care for their loved ones, that we can take care of children of the world, for they are your children and they are our future. We ask that you be with those who are wounded or sick or ailing from any condition that needs repair. Help them to know that in you, everything is made whole. And in you, their peace will be restored. We ask that the fish be multiplied again to feed the hungry, for there is abundance in this world that we can share if we only open ourselves up to give and share to those who are doing your work, to those who need support, and would live in greater faith and unity for the benefit of us all. We ask that you forgive those who are bringing conflict into the world, that they find a better way of arriving at their goals in life. For there is no end in conflict. It never stops perpetuating conflict. Help them to realize that, that we bring answers that are ultimate and final and transformative. We pray that you be with the peacemakers, that their strength may be multiplied and magnified, and their light shall shine as candles in the darkness. We ask that you answer all the prayers of our congregation, our community, and their families, their friends, that they may radiate out into the world and affect the lives of everyone they touch. And thank you for all the blessed souls who came to become blessing givers, that they shall be your servants and your chosen forevermore. Amen. Amen. And in your blessed name, O Lord, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? And let's offer the blessing. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's for you to continue receiving. To start the receiving, I want you to lie down on a bed. I mean, flat. It could be a mat on the floor. That's fine as long as you're, I want you horizontal, completely horizontal. And just relax. Do not think. Do not even continue your prayer. Because that's asking. And I want you receiving now. Just be a blank slate upon which God writes his will and his will for your life and the gifts he's giving you. And let your body be afloat on an ocean of possibility. If you fall asleep, that's fine. Just be at peace and receive. That's all you have to do. And bye-bye for now. God bless you.